Good evening and welcome to the forum. Tonight we're pleased to present Jim Hightower's speech that closed out this past weekend's Kicking the Coke Habit Conference, brought to you by KKFI. So without further ado, let's go to Jim Hightower at All Souls UU Church, recorded on Saturday, August 11th.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. What a joy to be here with this wonderful celebration. And to my speech will be shorter than Judy's introduction, by the way. But to be here with Danny Cox and that music, that authentic voice that we just heard. I should just leave the room and go to the bar and forget what I'm going to say, because what he said is what needs to be said, which is we the people are the answer. You're looking for what we're supposed to do. It's in you. And that is what Danny has been saying all along. And it's such a joy to be part of this unique conference. This unique, I don't even call it a conference, it's this gathering of spirits to come together here to talk about where we are and where we're going and how we get there. And to be with my pal out of the Raleigh-Durham area, Nancy McLean, known her for 147 years approximately, and then to meet Jason Stanley out of and Jason dressed up tonight. I don't know if you saw. He was in a T-shirt last night, but he's in a sort of a ninja black thing here tonight. I don't know what it means here, but what a terrific analyst he is of exactly where we are and what we might do about it. And then to add the music of Danny Cox, Bob and Diane too, and Bob Simon with them all. This is a spiritual gathering, and that's what we need. We don't need just lectures and intellectual discourse. We need some communing of our spirits, and that's our inner spirits, particularly the music, the stories, the history. History is story, and so that's what I think we're gathered here, and why I came these 1,000 miles or so out of Austin, Texas, to be a part of this gathering here tonight. And I thank the sponsors and the organizers and the volunteers, and especially Judy and Bill. Could we just hear it for Judy and Bill? What a powerhouse. Right there. So I thank you for allowing a scruffy Texas populace to come in here on a Saturday night. Into this UU church that we're transforming tonight into a church of populist revelation and redemption for a two-day Coca-Palooza and Democratic fest. Just makes me happier than a chigger at a nudist colony to be looking out at all of you tremendous fighters, you corporate greed whackers, you right-wing butt kickers, you radio active agitators for America's true progressive values of economic fairness, social justice, equal opportunity for all people. That's what we stand for. That's what America stands for. And we've got to put that forward more aggressively than ever before. So first, I thank you in this Trumpian summer of our discontent for having this program. This is exactly what we the people should be doing, not wringing our hands, but joining hands together to strategize, to organize, to harmonize, to mobilize, not to take America back, as the Tea Party people say. They've taken us back better than 100 years already. But to move America forward toward that great goal that Franklin Roosevelt advocated in his 1936 re-election campaign, when he said, "This is a campaign not merely to win votes, but to restore America to its own people." That's what we're about, right there. I come to you not just from Austin, Texas, but from South Austin. And And over on the south side of the river there, we're a little more irreverent. Molly and I lived over there, John Henry Falk. Kind of an attitude that is different than the whole city. And in fact, our unofficial slogan on the south side is, we're all here because we're not all there. And I think that is what brings us together here tonight, is we recognize that the powers that be are not at all there in terms of recognizing what America is all about, that we're all in this together. That's what they are missing. That's what they're trying to dismiss, in effect. And by the powers that be, I mean the downsizers and the privatizers. I mean the Walmart wage whackers and the big oil frackers. I mean the property supremacists that Nancy McLean talks about and the Citizen United extremists. And I mean what I call the six Bs, the bosses, the bankers, the billionaires, the big shots, the bastards, and the beep, who think that they're the top dogs and we're just a bunch of fire hydrants, you know, out here in the countryside. You know, economists have a technical term to explain what the powers that be are doing to us. It's called stealing. Remember that verse that Woody Guthrie had in that song, Pretty Boy Floyd, the Outlaw? Said, as through this world I travel, I see lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun, some with a fountain pen. It's the fountain pens who are doing the serious stealing in our society today. That's what we're up against. Inequality doesn't just happen. Inequality is caused. It's created. The coctopus that Nancy and Jane Mayer before and myself and others have explained. We've got my Hightower lowdown here, my chart of charts in the whatever issue it was, June, July, somewhere in there. The coctopus, the Charles Koch Foundation, the Charles Koch Institute, the Donald Koch Charitable Foundation, the Seminar Network, the Freedom Partners, the Donors Trust, the Independent Women's Forum, 60 Plus, Libre Initiative, the Concerned Veterans of America, the Generation Opportunity, politicians at all levels of our government, the courts themselves, the Federalist Society, George Mason University Mercatus Center, Youth Entrepreneurs, Americans for Prosperity, National Federation of Independent Business, American Legislative Exchange Council, Aegis Strategic, I-360, on and on. We've got the National Right to Work Committee, the NRA Institute, the Climate Change Deniers, 84 individual organizations funded by the Kochs on climate change, the Institute for Free Speech, the Center for Individual Rights, the Liberty Justice Center, the Franklin Center, the Watchdog Organization, American Enterprise Institute, Cato Institute, Heritage Foundation, Manhattan Institute, the State Policy Network, and on and on. You know, they say that in sex, using a feather can be erotic. Now, I don't know anything about this, but Bill was trying to explain it to me earlier. Using a feather can be erotic, but using the whole chicken, that is just nasty. They are using the whole chicken on us. Well, of course, an example is the whole Trump freak show in Washington, a government run by Goofy, Daffy, Sleepy, Sleazy, Larry, Curly, and Moe. Last year's tax giveaway to the hedge fund hucksters, billions and billions of dollars, matched with a tax takeaway from America's teachers, disallowing them a tax deduction for the supplies that they have to provide for their classes because the local government and the state government and the national government will not supply those supplies for our children. The Koch brothers spent $20 million to run TV ads to pass that tax giveaway to the rich in 2017. They're now spending $20 million to sell that tax giveaway in the interim elections we're about to have, 2018. They won't mention that more than $100 million out of that tax benefit will go to them, to their own organizations. You know, some of these guys are getting so rich they could afford to air condition hell. And I tell you what, they ought to be setting some money aside for that project, I think. But of course they say, no, you don't understand. We're not going to hell, we're going to heaven. Because, why? Well, we're philanthropists. Because, yes, we've made a lot of money, but we give back to our community. David Koch himself, he's got his name on the Lincoln Center in New York City, got his name on the Smithsonian Institution, got his name on the American Museum of Natural History, the dinosaur wing, which I think is sort of appropriate. And even PBS took his money and put his name as the chief sponsor of NOVA, their science program, even though he is a science denier. They want to be applauded. They want to be celebrated. Well, I'll tell you a quick story about what the gods think of philanthropists. Story that Earl Long used to tell when he was governor down in Louisiana. Told about a rich man who died and tried to get into heaven. But you don't just go into heaven. If you attended that little Methodist church that I did in Denison, Texas, you know that you appear before the pearly gates. And there's an angel out front going to review your life. And then St. Peter, back behind the gate, is going to decide if you get to come in or not. And so here came this rich man. And the angel looked over his life and said, "Oh, my God, you never did no good for nobody, no way. What are you doing here?" And the rich man said, "Well, now, wait a minute. That's not entirely true. There was that time in 1924 when that widow woman needed a carfare home, and I gave her a nickel." Angel said, "So?" I said, "Well, there was that time in 1934 when a beggar man was on the street and I put a nickel in his cup." Angel said, "That doesn't make up for a life of greed, though." And a rich man said, "Now, wait a minute." He said, "I've got a consistent pattern of giving. Back in 1944, there was that Salvation Army kettle outside of the bank, and I put a nickel in that kettle." And the angel turned back to St. Peter and said, "What in the world are we going to do with this man?" And St. Peter said, "Give him back his 15 cents and tell him to go to hell." Because it is not charity we're looking for. We're looking for economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all people. That's what America stands for, and that's what we stand for, and that's what we're going to fight for. Not charity. Well, what we're facing now, as Jason laid out last night, and as Nancy has meticulously detailed in her book, what we're up against is an all-out assault by oligarchic, plutocratic, autocratic, kleptocratic elites, who are as confused as goats on AstroTurf when it comes to understanding what America is about. They don't believe in democracy. Not merely an assault on the middle class, not merely assault on the poor, not merely assault on unions, immigrants, communities of color, Muslims, an assault on we the people, but on the big idea of America itself. That notion that we are all in this together. E pluribus unum, egalitarian ideals, 242-year experiment in democratic possibilities. Yes, we're faced with Donald Trump. Absolutely awful. Incarcerating toddlers. Putin's poodle. War with Iran. Supreme Court. Worst to come. Yet, stay focused. The political star might be Trump at the moment. He's in Washington's center ring, but he is not the story. As Jason pointed out, Hitler was used by the corporate powers of his days and the financiers. And so is Trump today, being used by the so-called responsible Republicans. That would be Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and people like that, people who know better but are going to do it anyway. Donald Trump is not the center. Charles Koch is the strategic center of this takeover by the corporate elites. Jeff Bezos is the monopolistic center of this takeover. Consortiums of Silicon Valley and Wall Street billionaires, they are the futuristic centers already designing a jobless economy in which robots will do the work. Artificial intelligence will take over, and what will happen to everybody else? They're not addressing that even. So where's the media in all this, you might ask? I mean, why are we not being told about this on a regular basis? At least, say, at the level in which we cover football games. Well, here it is. The media has been absorbed. In 1990, 50 media giants control 90% of all the news that we get. Today, 5 media giants control 90% of all the news that we get. A.J. Liebling, the great journalist, said freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who own one. And that's the importance of KKFI. That is the importance of independent media to get the word out. So my message to you, and I'm sure you're wondering what it is by now, is that it's up to us, you and me, the people in this room right here, not up to Trump and the Kochs. They're not our problem. It's not up to the Democratic Party, most of which are weaker than Canadian hot sauce when it comes to standing up for our interests. It's not up to Bernie Sanders. It's not up to Elizabeth Warren. It's up to you and me, just as it always has been. We are the agitators, as I said at the start of this little peroration here. You know, and the powers that be always try to make that a pejorative. All of those agitators. Our workers were perfectly happy in this factory until those union agitators came in. The poor people didn't mind living up against that toxic waste site until those environmental agitators came in and started messing with their minds. Well, hogwash and horse hockey. Agitation is what America is all about. Agitators built this country. Not just the founding fathers, but the rebels and the rabble-rousers, the mavericks and the maddest hellers. Thomas Paine and Daniel Shays, Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass, the abolitionists and suffragists, the populists, the unionists, Joe Hill and Michael Quill, Mother Jones and Woody Guthrie, Martin Luther King Jr. and Cesar Chavez, and now down to you and me. It's our time to be the agitator for America, for American democracy. As Jesse Jackson put it in 1988, the agitator is the center post in the washing machine that gets the dirt out. We need a lot more of that. We need agitation in America. You are those agitators. So, again, my message is that it is up to us. Yet we've got too many people trying to say we got to go slow. We need to compromise. You know, Jack Nicholson said that he didn't understand the word irony until one day his mother called him a son of a bitch. So, and we've got too many go slow, don't rock the corporate boat Democratic Party officials and establishment progressive leaders who seem to want a mass movement without the masses. Without enlisting the masses. They want us to send email petitions into our Congress critters when they tell us to. And they want us to send money to them every single month. Well, as we say out in West Texas, bovine excrement. You can't make beef stew with bullshit. And that's what they're trying to do. But the good news is this. The people of America are revolting in the very best sense of that term. A movement of democratic populism, little d democratic populism, a movement that actually moves, is steadily building all across this country, including some sane Trump voters as well. You saw this in your vote right here to pass the Missouri, to oppose, to kill the Missouri right to vote initiative that was put on your ballot. You don't get 66% without Trump voters. A group called People's Action up here in Chicago, based in Chicago, they're in 43 states all across our country with local grassroots groups doing this kind of progressive organizing. They moved into 72 rural counties carried by Trump in 10 states this year. Doing surveys, they had 5,500 front porch conversations about what's important to you. They didn't drive the conversation. They said, what's important to you? And the first response to that, and almost inevitably, was, nobody ever asked me that before. That is a powerful, powerful political message right there. But the answers were not immigrants, not government raid, banks and environment, government regulation of banks and environmental laws, not the trade deficit, but health care, wages, clean water. They said the most thing that mattered to them was that we're told we don't matter. That's an enormous political opportunity. And if we don't, I mean, shame on us if we don't take that opportunity. Go say to people, you do matter, and we care, and we're going to organize with you to do something about it. Translating, too, into electoral politics, Black Lives Matter, Working Families Party, Indivisible, National Nurses United, teachers, West Virginia, Arizona, Oklahoma, on the march, states you couldn't believe that this was going to happen in. They took the lead. Democratic Socialists of America engaged electorally in a way they never have been before. Moral Mondays, based out of North Carolina, but spreading all across the South and now elsewhere in our country. LULAC, League of United Latin American Officials. Domingo Garcia out of Dallas, new president of LULAC, that became a dormant organization. He was a Bernie guy. He's going to democratize it and move it into our column. A great group called JOLT, millennials, female millennials, taking them into the political spectrum as well. New energy, new unity, coming together. They're not just taking their issue, but they're combining their issue with all of the rest of our issues. I think of these groups in terms of a little hardware store near my home in Austin called Harold's Hardware. And it's a great place. It's no bigger than this room right here. But Harold's, it's not a big box place, but you don't have to buy that whole carton of nails. They'll sell you two nails. If you need two nails, they'll sell you those. And at Harold's, they'll say, well, what are you trying to do? Well, I want to build one of these lecterns here. Okay, well, let's pencil it out and see what you need. They'll loan you a tool. You can take a power saw home, electric screwdriver, make it happen, then bring it back. And the slogan of Harold's Hardware is, together, we can do it yourself. That's got to be our slogan, doesn't it? Because we can't do it ourselves, but together we can do anything we face up to. I'm working with our revolution just a moment on it, not to tout it above any other, but just as an example of what's going on in the grassroots area. Our Revolution, the follow-up to the Bernie campaign. It is an independent, little-d democratic, aggressively progressive political movement. It is electing people. It is electing Ocasio-Cortez in New York. It's electing Ben Jealous in Maryland, Keith Ellison running for Attorney General in Minnesota, Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. Wonderful, wonderful election there. Wesley Bell over here, St. Louis, new district attorney out of Ferguson, Missouri. Even in my state of Texas, not considered a bastion of progressivism. Yet, Texas is not right-wing, it's not Republican, it's a non-voting state. Because my party, the Democratic Party, quit going to the people out there with little-d Democratic politics. They started taking money from the same corporate interests that finance the Republicans. And guess what? The Republicans get more than the Democrats do. But again and again and again, we run candidates for governor and et cetera. They get the same 40% they always get. And again, we hire the same consultants who tell candidates, you've got to forget the grassroots, just put your money into TV. We're against that now. We're running statewide. Our Revolution Texas, organized statewide, divided the state in 12 different regions, steering committees in each one. If you want to be endorsed for a local candidate or for state legislature, you've got to first get your local committee to endorse you. That goes to the state, and then we send it to the national for endorsement. We have 12,000 members of Our Revolution in the state of Texas. We're running everywhere in red districts, especially in rural districts, places where people have been told they don't matter. And they've been shunted aside. You can't win a statewide race in Texas without winning some of the rural districts, or at least getting, say, 45% of the vote in those rural districts. And so we're targeting those rural districts, and we're running for statewide candidates, too, because we can base it on running everywhere in the state. We're going to beat Ted Cruz with Beto O'Rourke because he is doing exactly what we're talking about doing. We are winning 45% of the races that we enter in the state of Texas. 45%. These are candidates who have no name, they have no money, they have no establishment contacts, and they are winning in the state. People like Mike Floyd, was an 18-year-old high school senior down in Pearland, Texas, a suburb of Houston, a big suburb over there. And he was a high school senior, but he is now the school board president because he defeated the incumbent school board president. And he did it by organizing the juniors and seniors in the high schools in that county to support him, and then they got their parents to go vote for him and won overwhelmingly. Grassroots politics, talking to people, personally conversations with people. And we just elected him as the state party treasurer. We defeated the incumbent of our state Democratic Party with Mike Floyd being head of that now. And by the way, we ran 18 people for state Democratic Executive Committee. We won 10 of those races. We're taking over the Democratic Party in our state step by step. And not just based on candidates, but we're running something we call the Healthy Texas Campaign with the National Nurses Union supporting us, and it is Medicare for All, a state program in the state of Texas. There's never been a bill introduced in the Texas legislature for Medicare for All. So the Democrats complain, well, we can't win. Well, you're not trying to win. I mean, at least put a bill in. So we're putting a bill in. We've got sponsors for it in the Senate and the House. Now we're able to go to every state representative, every state senator, and say, here's what we want. And they'll say no, and we'll say, okay, then we're going to the people because they do want it, and we will be in front of your office and in front of your home and confronting you. We want health care for Texas. for everybody in the state of Texas. Well, you know, I grew up in a little town, that little town of Denison, Texas, and I was a small guy. And fistfights broke out back in those days among students, junior high school, and et cetera. And I learned early on that you should never hit a man with glasses. You should use something much heavier. And the heaviest thing we have are you, the people. And bring that to the fight, and we win. But if we try to fight inside with money, we don't have a prayer. But bringing the people to the fight, then we can make something happen. So my slogan for our revolution in Texas is, we are not here to protest the government. We are here to become the government. And that has got to be our attitude. Well, leave you this friend of mine. I know the powers that be say, well, you can't do this. I mean, the money powers, they got the media, they got the politicians, they got all the bucks, et cetera, et cetera. You can't win. But as a friend of mine who's been a pioneer in the organic movement put it to me some years ago, he said, those who say it can't be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. And that would be you. You are the ones who are doing it. It's the only ones who can do it. So keep on what you're doing. I'll leave you with this thought. It's from the late Southern humorist, Louis Grizzard, who said something that we in the South have always known to be true, and that is that there's a big difference between being naked and being naked. Being naked means you have no clothes on. Being naked, that means you have no clothes on and you are up to something. So let's get naked together. Thank you very much. Thanks for what you're doing. Great to be with you. All right. Thank you. My pleasure.
You've been listening to Jim Hightower. Jim gave the closing speech at KKFI's Kicking the Coke Habit Conference held this past weekend at both UMKC and All Souls UU Church. Jim's speech was given at All Souls on Saturday, August 11th.